What's going on, everybody? We are back with the Real Bodybuilding Podcast, episode number 52, and I am with my man, a friend, one of the hostile athletes, and a guy who's competing this weekend, Mr. Justin Mackey. How are you, sir?
What's up, guys? I'm good. Yeah. Tired. Yeah.
You're 6 days out, man. How is 6 days out feeling?
Cold, and that's why I got this hoodie on, but I'm feeling a little bit better today. Started my high days today for today and tomorrow.
Okay.
So I do get some carbs in. The last 4 days have kind of been long. I've been doing about almost 2 hours of cardio for the last 2 weeks.
Really?
I've been doing an hour fasted on the stairs and then 45 minutes post-workout. So
both of them on the step mill?
Yeah, I've been on the step mill the entire time. We're really trying to make sure that we're tightened, you know, as much as possible. And the last thing I want to hear is that, you know, I wasn't conditioned enough.
I've
heard that before. That's not something that I want to hear.
So the last 4 days, you've been basically in depletion mode.
Yeah.
And for those of you, listening who don't know what depletion mode means, it means his carbs are how low?
I mean, I was having like maybe 3/4 cup of cream of wheat in the morning. And then after that, it was pretty much just greens. So
you're having like, I mean, if we don't count the carbs from the greens, you're having like 40 grams a day.
I mean, that's what it was for about
4 days.
So basically what we've been doing for the last 2 or 3 weeks is we've been doing high days, Monday and Tuesday. So, and then we're basically testing the peak.
Yeah.
So, you know, after Monday and Tuesday, then it goes low, you know, all the way. And we're trying to get a little bit leaner. We're trying to shock our body, you know, and then come back up. And then we're trying to just, he tweaks the peak a little bit, you know, more. He sees, you know, how long it's taken me to drop the water off a little bit. And what's up?
So how high is your Monday and Tuesday in carb wise? Like, how high are you going?
Man, I want to say it was like 900.
So he's pushing you really, really hard on the Monday and Tuesday, and then seeing how long it takes you to deplete all that glycogen.
Exactly. Saturday. So like even this week, like everything's tentative right now, obviously, because it's peak week. If he has to add food in, he will. But Monday and Tuesday, which obviously is today, is really high. And then Wednesday and Thursday is, you know, it's low again. But if, you know, he is saying if he needs to add food, he will. And then obviously Friday is going to be back high again.
Yeah. So I like that approach. It's I've never heard of that. Usually you hear people, like, I started on a Monday once, but it was like a add 50 grams a day from Monday going, and it just set steady climb all the way to the show, right?
Yeah.
I kind of like that approach. I've never heard of it, but it's good because it's like you fill out.
Yeah.
Get rid of the water, and then you can kind of refill a little bit on Friday.
Well, what we noticed too is that, you know, he's noticed how long I'm holding on, you know, to everything. And I think he's got it timed perfectly. I mean, this is our second year together. So, I mean, it does take time, you know, for someone to learn, you know, someone's body completely. That's why I think sticking with a coach, I think people that have been with their coaches for a long time obviously have an extreme advantage because, you know, that coach has more time to figure you out.
For those of you guys who don't know, Justin's trained by Phil Viz. So we keep saying he. I just want to make sure. But
yeah.
Just so we give Phil the respect he deserves.
Phil is the smartest people I've ever met, man. I mean, it's, you know, sometimes I got to tell him to dumb it down for me because he's dealing with a bodybuilder, you know. So as far as the scientific approach and everything, that's not something that's my strong point. I just do what I'm told. I mean, that's really what I do. So
do you think the glycogen will drop slower this week? Because I'm assuming your training probably isn't going to be as intense this week.
So today, I mean, yeah, I do think that. And then even yesterday, you know, I was supposed to have an off day yesterday, but he wanted me to put some, you know, some glycogen around. So I did, you know, an upper body workout, just a circuit for about 20 or 30 minutes, just to get things moving. And then today, obviously, since it is, you know, a high carb day, it's going to be a lot of volume with my training today. I just ate meal two. I'm going to, you know, obviously do this with you, and then I'm going to go to the gym after meal three. I'm going to do a chest, delt, and tricep exercise. Tomorrow's going to be back and buys. Everything's going to be high volume. Everything's going to be trying to push all of this nutrition into the muscles and make sure that we fill out properly. And then it's going to be a lot of posing. He wants me to pose, you know, for 15 minutes, an hour after I eat every meal.
That's great. Yeah, that's great.
And then,
but what about, so what about Wednesday, Thursday? Wednesday and Thursday, do you train or no?
Wednesday and Thursday, I'm not training. So I actually, I'm leaving Wednesday. I think my flight's at like 3 o'clock or something like that on Wednesday to Tampa. So okay. I won't be training that day. Obviously we're watching my water. He's got everything down to, you know, he wants me drinking 8 ounces of water with my meals, and then he wants me to drink another 24 ounces between that meal.
Okay. Okay. That's a lot.
He's even telling me like, hey, I don't want you drinking any water on the plane. Yeah. You know, because, you know, he doesn't want me, first off, he doesn't want me getting up and walking back and forth the entire plane ride because, yeah. I mean, you do, you end up having to piss every 5 to 10 minutes. I mean, yeah. Water is just coming all the time. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's a lot. I mean, honestly, this last week is probably the toughest part of a prep because there's just so much going on.
Yeah. So Thursday, you're going to be there.
Yeah.
You won't train again. You just kind of just lay around the hotel room. And I'm just trying to give people a picture of what
looks like. Wednesday and Thursday, I'm going to probably just be relaxing. And if I get there Wednesday and he's saying maybe we need to be a little bit tighter, I mean, he may throw some cardio in. I'm not sure. I know Friday he's going to want me to work out probably.
Oh, okay.
So we will push some, you know, nutrition into the muscle on Friday. But Wednesday and Thursday, I'm guessing we probably won't be doing anything.
Okay.
It's also just going to be laying around. So.
Are you done? You're going to be, when are you done your cardio?
Cardio. I've got cardio today. I've got cardio tomorrow. And then, Wednesday and Thursday, I'm not doing anything. I'm sure Friday, I won't probably be doing anything either.
So. Okay. So, and when was your last leg day?
Leg day was Saturday.
Okay. And then obviously you're going to let them rest and kind of dry out. So they look nice. So you sent me some photos this morning, from what you're looking like right now. I just want to show people real quick, before we move on to some other stuff, since we're talking about it.
Yeah.
This is you in a depleted state. So this is your back shots. I wanted to talk to you about your side shots. And for those of you who don't know, I like to try and help Justin a little bit, or anybody really, with their posing if I can, because I don't know, I feel like it's one thing I can kind of help with. But these shots here, your side shots, the side chest and the side tricep.
Yeah.
The side of the leg is nuts. Like, this is crazy, right? But I feel like if you turn a little bit more, you can balance out the leg in the upper body.
Yeah, so I was going to tell you too, I know we were talking about this earlier, but I wanted to talk to you about it here. So usually I hit this shot, both of those side shots, from the other side.
Oh, okay.
Because of how crazy my legs are looking from this side, Phil wants me practicing from this side, and obviously I still have some more practicing to do. From the other side, I have it hit perfectly, but my legs and my glutes aren't coming out the way that they are on this side, so we're gonna try to see if I can perfect that. And I do agree with you, I need to turn more on both of these poses.
Well,
I need to close up that gap, you know, in my back arm on the side chest. I mean, there's a lot of things that I could probably do to fix this, but
I just see like this arm needs to come down a bit.
Yes.
Yeah. And then this back shoulder needs to come around.
Yep.
And then you can kind of square off your shoulders.
Yeah. So I usually never hit it from the side. I mean, I haven't hit this side in probably like 6 or 7 years. So
I can't do it either. Like if somebody said to me, do it from the other side, I couldn't even do it.
When I first started doing it, I was grabbing the other hand, you know, I was pulling it the wrong way. I mean, it's really, if you don't practice it, I mean, it's not, it's not in your wheelhouse. So I'm definitely going to try to make that happen, because at least for the side try, for sure, because I think that, you know, just my glutes, my, you know, the separation, those, that feathering in the legs, I really think that's a good look for me. So I would like to do that.
So the side tricep, I think, is great. Mm-hmm. The only thing I would say is a lot of guys make this mistake. This back shoulder, you need to swing it around.
Yeah.
Like just you take the whole shoulder and just kind of roll it over.
Yeah.
Because it'll flex this pec.
Yep.
And give you, this pec will look thicker, and it'll give your whole body a little bit more dimension here.
I'm definitely going to work on that. I'm going to take that to heart right now. I mean, you've already helped me with that lat spread up top. It already looks 1,000 times better. So I'm going to take that into account too. So
it's good though. Your shots look good. And then this is your front shots. This quarter turn is crazy. I think still though, if you could pull the shoulder around a bit.
Yeah.
Cause your waist is so small. Like this is awesome.
Yeah.
So it would look even crazier, but this is like your legs. I can't believe the size your legs have kept.
Yeah. Like, I mean, my legs have, you know, it's actually funny, when I started bodybuilding, my legs were horrible. I was a 155-pound kid that had no legs. So, you know, I really busted my ass. And they have they've stayed with me the entire time when I've been bodybuilding. They never break down. And when we load, they just get bigger. So
how tall are you, Justin?
I'm 5'9".
You're 5'9". Yeah, that's crazy. You're doing 2 hours on the step mill and your legs look like fresh. Like,
yeah,
they're totally full. They don't look flat at all.
Yeah, no. And obviously, like I said, those pictures, I mean, that's with, you know, 4 days, 5 days of
low carbs.
So yeah. I'm interested to see what we look like. I got to take pictures again after training today for him, for Phil. And I'm interested to see what it looks like after meal four. He wants pictures. And then, you know, in the morning is obviously when we see what's really going on. So
what's your weight right now in these photos?
Right here, I'm probably like 227.
227. So your weight probably won't go up too much for the show though, right? Because you're going to displace water and then load, like you probably still be around 230.
If I had to guess, I'll be about 230, 231.
Yeah. Yeah.
On stage. Yeah.
It's going to look good, man. I'm excited for you. So what do you, let's go over your diet real quick before we talk about the show. So this is your peak week diet you sent me.
Uh-huh.
So these are your high days, Monday and Tuesday.
Yep.
Light cardio, pose between meals. We talked about that. The water we talked about. Train after three meals. Is there a specific reason why I train after three meals, just to get some food in you?
You know, I think he wants those three meals in. Obviously, just, you know, if you got up and trained after one meal, I don't think I'm going to get the same, you know, effect. You know, obviously all those carbs from, you know, the first three meals are going to really help bring me to life.
Yeah.
You know, I see certain things in my body too. You know, once I start carbing up, there's things that I notice too. Things start, you know, I get different striations in different places. I see different things that probably a lot of other people don't see. And I can tell when I'm getting full. I can tell when I'm getting to a point where, you know, I'm liking what's going on. So right now, this is probably the best I've ever looked. And I think this is going to be a great look for me on stage. Now, whether I win or not, that's another thing. But I'm really happy with how this went.
This has got to be a great thing for you on a fucking diet, man. Like, this isn't every Monday and Tuesday, is it? You get a muffin here, and I'm seeing like half a bagel, another half a bagel.
I don't even taste that shit, man. I really don't.
You don't what?
I said, I don't even taste that. It goes down so quick. I really don't. So, but yeah, no, it is nice, man. When I drove through Dunkin' Donuts this morning to get that, I had a nice big smile on my face.
So is this every high day? This is kind of like your diet, or is it different this week?
No, this is just the last like 2 or 3 weeks that he's been doing these high days on Monday and Tuesday. Honestly, I haven't had a real cheat meal since, man, I started dieting in February. We were originally supposed to do the Chicago Pro, which is supposed to be July 4th weekend, and that got moved. So we stayed in it and we kept going, and we were, you know, really hoping that shows were going to happen. And this was our next show picked.
Yeah.
And, but I haven't had a real cheat meal. I couldn't tell you when the last time he told me to have one was, maybe now, 3 months ago.
When you say real cheat meal, what do you consider a cheat meal? Because I realize a lot of people have different definitions of a cheat meal.
Yeah.
So what do you define as a cheat meal?
I mean, a cheat meal for me would be like, hey, go have whatever you want.
Okay.
You know, he hasn't even told me to do that. When I'm saying he gave me a cheat meal, he told me to go have a burger and fries. Which, you know, usually, I mean, it's controlled. So, but I haven't had anything other than that. Like I said, I couldn't even tell you honestly, Fuad.
But I really don't. I don't think I know. I don't know if I would need a cheat meal if I had this every, like like, this is honestly, people talk to me like about my diet. This is my style of diet that I like. Like, you suffer for 4 or 5 days, and then if I get to have this for 2 days, I'm fine suffering the other 4 or 5 days.
Yeah. I mean, you'd think that, but man, after like 20 weeks, all of a sudden.
No, I wouldn't do it for 20 weeks. 12. I'm good for 12. 12.
Yeah. No, 12, like 16. After a while, you're like, okay, this is enough, man. I mean, I've had enough. Yeah.
No, 20 weeks is
enough. I love doing what I'm doing, man. So I can't even complain. I mean, this is what I like to do. This is what we're here for. I mean, you have to suffer. If you're not suffering, you're not going to look good. So, I mean, yeah, those other low days suck. But yeah, you get around to this. Like, I was looking forward to Monday and Tuesday all week last week.
So I noticed your protein counts aren't that high. Is that normal for the rest of the week too, or is it just on these high carb days?
Usually we're no more than 8 ounces. So okay. I think he's just trying to, he cut that a little bit just to keep my stomach a little bit less full and to be able to get down all those carbs. Cause honestly, this is a lot of food for me.
Do you do a lot of fats on the low days? Does he add more fats like oils or nuts or anything like that?
Got some oils and stuff in there. Yeah. I could probably look at it. He like adds some balsamic and stuff like that, but it's not a ton.
Okay. Okay. So. And then this is your low day here, actually. Sorry. I've been asking you about
it. Yeah.
Oh, so you got, you know what? He does add some fats, but it's more from like food sources.
Yeah,
so you
it's
got
from some, like red meats and stuff. I mean, it's not a bunch.
Well, you're eating meat every meal here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. And he's got the three whole eggs. So you do have a lot of fat, but it's all from food sources, not added fats. Okay. Yeah. That's cool. And then this is Friday. Is that this Friday? Is that supposed to be this Friday?
That's this Friday. What I sent you was this week's plan.
This week's plan. Okay.
Now this is obviously tentative. If something goes the way he, you know, if he doesn't like what's going on, he can switch this at any time. So
of course,
actually after today, I mean, tomorrow could switch. I don't know what's going to happen, but this is just what he sent me just so I could be prepared so I can get to the grocery store so I can have what I need. There's just a lot of preparing. I mean, I own a meal prep company, so I prepped all the food. I'm having it sent out today, so I get it on Wednesday. There's just a lot of things to do right now. When I get to Tampa, I don't want to worry about anything but this.
So, yeah, of course. Does he know you've given me your whole peak week plan? Like, or did you ask him if you could give me this?
I didn't ask him that, no, but I mean, I'm sure he wouldn't care, man. I mean, you know what, I mean, what's the difference here? I mean,
nothing to hide here, man.
I mean, there's nothing you can really do. We're a week out. So
this is your Instagram. If anybody wants to follow Justin Mackey_, there's some really good physique shots on here. But anyway, so you touched on, your meal prep company. One of the reasons I wanted to have you on is I wanted to discuss work ethic.
Yeah.
Because I know you've had a bunch of businesses and you're also a professional bodybuilder. And a lot of people think that they don't realize how much work goes into, you know, people think that you become a pro and then you get a bunch of contracts and you can sit around your ass, but they don't, but even if that happens, they don't realize that there was a before that you had to get to that point. So where did the entrepreneurship come from? And what was like your first business that you started?
So I started a personal training studio with one of my friends, and that was in like 2010. And I owned that till about 2017.
Yeah.
At that point in time, I just, you know, it wasn't really for me. It wasn't going the way that I wanted it to go. It wasn't growing the way that I wanted it to grow. I wanted an actual gym. You know, so I did get out of it and I opened up a restaurant. Actually, one of my best friends was selling the restaurant and I used to eat there. Like he used to prep all my food for me. Yeah. So I bought this restaurant from him in 2017. And then I was waiting, you know, my plan was I was waiting for my brother to get out of college. And then what I wanted to do is I wanted to add a meal prep company on top of that. Okay. So I could do that all out of the same kitchen. Yep. And we were going to deliver to half the country. So he got done with school, like December 2017, something like that, way late. So we started it in January of 2018, and we've been going with it for the last 2 years now, and it's been going really well. We ship, you know, meals to half the country. And then my next thing after that was we wanted to open a gym again, and I wanted an actual big commercial gym. Yeah. And on top of that, I wanted the meal prep to be a part of that. So I wanted people to be able to come in and grab meals, you know, as they were leaving, if they were going to work, you know, if they were, you know, they don't want to cook when they go home, whatever it is, they want to grab a couple meals for their husbands and wives or whoever it may be. So we started that. And I mean, it's been really going well, man. I mean, the gym is going amazing. But yeah, to talk about work ethic, man, I mean, my brother and I, this whole entire prep, we started this whole process right before the quarantine hit. So we started buying all the equipment and then we had nowhere to go with it.
Yeah.
So we built a gym in my garage. I started prep in my garage for the first couple of weeks. We finally secured a place that we wanted for the lease for the gym. And then we started moving the equipment in there. And from there, I mean, I've been working with him, with my brother for, you know, the last like 20 weeks. We've been going like 100-hour weeks. I mean, between the restaurant, the meal prep with the gym, I mean, we did everything ourselves. We tried to save as much money as we possibly could. We painted ourselves. We put the flooring in ourselves. You know, we dragged every single piece of equipment in ourselves, including the dumbbells. I mean, one by one. I mean, everything has been work. So
where, I don't even know how you do that, man. Like, how do you, you doing that? Let's fast forward from the beginning all the way to now. You're doing this in 20 weeks.
Yeah.
While you're getting ready for a show. Most people can't do shit when they're getting ready for a show. you're running two businesses. Like, I don't know.
If it wasn't for him, if it wasn't for my brother, I wouldn't have made it. And honestly, even his girlfriend has been a huge part for him. I mean, she's done everything. Man, it almost brings me to tears, man. I mean, this has been tough.
Yeah.
It's been a rough year. So
why? Why? Can you tell? Can you talk about why?
I mean,
other than COVID, and obviously, obviously, business has probably suffered from it a little bit.
Yeah, the restaurant, I mean, the community gathered around us. They really did. I mean, once the quarantine hit, we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know if we were going to have to shut down. We didn't know if, if we were going to make it. We're a small business. We're literally right outside of a Six Flags Great America. So
yeah.
We count on them in the summers to make our money. And then in the winter, you know, we survive.
Yeah.
So, not having them opening has been huge. We do triple the business in the summer. They haven't been open the entire summer.
Yeah.
The community of Gurnee has been amazing. I mean, all of our regulars started coming in more. People started calling in. They started Grubhubbing. They started DoorDashing. I mean, and they tried to help us as much as they possibly could.
Yeah.
And then, you know, my brother and I saved up this money. We don't spend. So we spent every single thing we had to put into this gym and buy all this equipment and get this going. And we didn't know how it was going to go, man.
did you consider not doing the gym when COVID hit, or was it too late at that point?
I mean, this is my dream. This is my brother's dream. This is what we wanted to do. So like for me, it just, when I get something in my head, it's just like, I got to do it. I got to have it, you know, like, so I'm not going to let something like this stop me and control me. I mean, I could have stopped this whole entire prep when quarantine hit. I mean, I didn't have to keep going. I know a lot of people did. And honestly, like, I respect that, but this is another year, man. What if we don't get another year?
But wait a minute. But continuing on a diet is not the same as continuing with a business, because now you've actually established a business.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the rules are in Chicago yet, but you probably can't even open your doors yet.
Actually, yeah, we're open.
Okay, so now you're open, but you didn't know that going forward.
We didn't know when we were going to be able to open. And honestly, I was afraid that the city was going to give us kind of a pushback, because I was at the point where, you know, we were ready to go. And if they hadn't gone into phase four where we could have opened our doors, I may have pushed on that and just opened anyway and just gone after it, because we were at the point where we were running out of money. We were running out of time. We were panicking, and people even gathered around that. We sold 300 memberships before we even opened the doors. I think we're almost at 600 now.
Yeah.
I mean, it really has been going well, but this is, people don't, yeah, like you said, they don't see everything that you're going through. They only see the end product. So the 20 weeks of, you know, this has just been, it's been hard.
Who runs the restaurant business? Who's there day to day? Are you there day to day?
So actually, like, things have just been falling into place, man. I don't, you know, obviously I believe in God, but I don't know how I could not, with everything going on. I mean, literally, we found this gym. We were going to get this other gym. It was like 9,000 square feet, and they wanted, I want to say they wanted like 15 grand a month for this place, because it was on the street. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and we were about to sign this deal, and then the quarantine hit and they backed out on us actually. Okay. And for some reason, my brother found this place. It's literally, I could spit on it from my restaurant. And that's where we put the gym, and the layout is amazing. And we found the spot, and it's 10 grand less than what we were going to be paying.
Wow.
Things work out, you know, for a reason. They really do. I believe in fate. I believe if, you know, if you put the energy into it and you're good to it, good things are going to happen. So,
yeah. Where did the work ethic come from? Is it from a dad, a mom, where does it come from? Cause honestly, like, people can't do this shit. Like,
yeah,
you know, people don't take this kind of stuff on. I mean, somebody might take on a restaurant. Somebody might take on the bodybuilding thing. Somebody may take on a gym. It's rare to find somebody who's going to go at all three that are all three of them are risky. Like any business person would tell you, highest turnover restaurant, highest turnover gym.
Yeah.
Not many pro bodybuilders make money. Like you pick the three hardest things. You're like, I'm going to fucking do all three of them. So where did this, like, I don't give a shit, this is what I want attitude come from?
You know, man, you're going to get me all emotional on this week of prep, but me and my brother had it rough. We grew up really poor. Luckily my mom was single. She raised both of us, paycheck to paycheck. She was constantly borrowing money. Luckily she had my grandparents there to help her, because we'd get off the bus and we'd go to their house until she got off of work. Luckily we had them, because she couldn't have made it, completely on her own. And, my grandparents are hard workers. My mom is a hard worker. They've instilled that in us, and neither one of my, so my brother and I, we have different dads. My dad passed away like 7 years ago. He drowned.
Sorry to hear that, man.
He wasn't in my life and I didn't have a great relationship with him, but we didn't even get to, say anything to each other before. But my brother's dad passed away when he was about, I want to say like 5 or 6. My brother never even met his dad. So we were behind the eight ball, if you want to look at it that way. I know there's huge statistics on people, not having their parents in their lives, especially a father figure. Yeah. But we had each other. So, and obviously it's amazing being able to go to work and seeing my brother every day, that we can take care of each other. We can make sure that we're, okay. And that's why this show means a ton to me. So he's going to be there. My brother's going to be there.
How old is your brother?
That's the thing, man. He's only 24.
Okay. And you're 32, right?
I'm 32. Yeah. And he busts his ass. I've never seen a 24-year-old work like this. He doesn't complain.
Yeah.
Look at the 24-year-olds, what are they doing right now? You know what I'm saying? This kid was in here busting his ass. We're there till 12, 1 in the morning working, putting this gym together. We're at the restaurant working every day. We're putting meals together. We're, and then on top of that, this last week, I haven't even been able to work, Fuad. Like, I have no energy. Who's taking that on? My brother. Who's at the gym right now training people? So when we leave and we go to this show that we have staff, my brother is.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not like a one-man show. It really isn't. So, people, you have to have a support system no matter what you're doing. But that work ethic, I think we just saw how much my mom struggled, and we never wanted to do that. I think
your mom, do you ever hear your mom complain? Like about work, like, did your mom ever complain about work?
So my mom has hated every single day of work her entire life. She worked to support us. She didn't work because she liked doing what she was doing.
Okay, but wait a minute. I guess maybe I didn't mean it that way. Did she? The reason I'm saying that is my dad was a welder. Okay.
Yeah.
And he would go to fucking work every morning. He'd come home every night. There'd be holes in his wife beater from the sparks flying and shit.
Yeah.
And I never heard him say, I'm not going to work, or I'm calling in sick, or like any of that shit. Like, it was like, he just did it. He just got up and did it. He obviously didn't love it. I mean, who wants to go fucking grind it out for 12 hours in a factory, like under hot welding, but, but sometimes I think work ethic isn't necessarily learned. You just kind of absorb it. You see it.
Yep.
And then you kind of,
my mom never complained, if that's what you're asking about work. She never,
that's kind of what I'm getting at is, yeah. That's kind of what I'm getting at is,
no, you never, she was up. I mean, she was up even on the weekends. Like, she was up cutting coupons, so we could make our rounds to the store so we could afford groceries.
My parents did that too. They would, we'd have to go to like four different grocery stores.
Yeah. Man, we were at Aldi putting the quarter into the, to the machine. Then we were at Jewel. Then we had to go to Walmart for this stuff so she could save on this. Yeah. I mean, he did everything that she could to make sure that we had what we had. And I think, that is a huge part of why me and my brother are doing what we're doing and how we're doing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, she never complained, man. She was up, she was working all the time. She's still that way to this day. So
yeah, that's great, man.
Actually, she, you know, she worked 23 and a half years for a company that ended up canning her. And after 23 and a half years, if she would have made it to 25 years, she would have had a full pension.
No way.
So she, but she doesn't complain. She just keeps.
What did she do?
She was a, I don't want to call her a secretary. That's not what she did, but she did a lot of planning and.
Like administrative work.
Yeah, administrative work. Yeah, for sure. At a big pharmaceutical company. It's called AbbVie. It used to be called Abbott Labs.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So what's going on? You've got all your meals prepped by the prep company. The company's doing well. What's the prep company called?
It's called Winner Winner Chicken Dinner.
Winner Winner Chicken. And you guys you guys ship to everybody in America, like, or half?
So we ship to half. I mean, if you drew a line like from Kansas straight down and then went east, we get to all those states. We can't really go west because you can't get it there frozen in 2 days. The shipping becomes nuts. So we'd actually have to have another hub somewhere else to get it there. Mm-hmm. So we don't do that. But I think the thing I'm most excited about is people are really using it at the gym. Everybody that comes through after they're done with their workouts, they grab a meal.
I mean, I would 100%. If my gym had that, I'd sure.
Yeah.
We'd grab something on the way out the door kind of thing.
I mean, there's a Burger King, there's a McDonald's down the street, there's a Subway, all that stuff. And they can go there. You can go to Chipotle. You can pay 12, 15 bucks for a bowl if you get steak and guac, or you could buy one for me for $7. Yeah. You know, I just think it's a great option.
And you know how it's made. I mean, it's not going to be the same as Chipotle. So
yeah.
You talked about support system. Is there a girlfriend, wife, anything in the picture that, is there a few girlfriends? Is there like, is there somebody helping you through or has been helping you through, or are you just kind of you and, you know, you're just doing your own thing?
I've made some mistakes in the last like few weeks here, and I really, I hurt somebody that I really didn't want to hurt at all. And I've kind of lost that support system because of it.
Okay.
So I've put my job and everything else, you know, bodybuilding, everything in front of that person. And she didn't deserve it. So, but,
you know. Sorry, let me ask you a couple of questions. Yeah. I don't want to assume anything.
Yeah.
But is the problem that you're so busy, or did you do something else that you care to talk about?
I don't really care to talk about it because I know you wouldn't want me to put, you know, our personal business out there.
Yeah.
But I,
let me ask you this.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to fix this one, Fua. So,
well, let me ask you this. Does she compete?
No, she doesn't.
So me and my wife, I think people who listen to the podcast have probably heard this before, but me and my wife have been together for 13 years. But the first year after we were together, we broke up for about a year.
Yeah.
And it was because of competing. And it was because she just didn't get it. Like she had never done a show before. So she didn't get why I was being the way I was being.
Yeah.
So, and why I was so busy and why I was so distant and why I was so like all these other things. So, like I said, I don't want to make any assumptions. I don't know what the issue is, but if that's part of the issue, that can be fixed. Because my wife came around to understand that it's just 3 or 4 months out of the year and this is how it's going to be. And we kind of got through it.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I think, you know, for her and I, we started like right when the quarantine hit, and this has been a huge thing, and my head was all over the place and it wasn't in the right place.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to getting out of prep after this and hopefully trying to make things right. You know, I don't know if I can or anything like that, but yeah, this has been a long prep. She was supposed to be with me in Tampa. She's not going to be. I'm just trying to, Phil's trying to get me to focus on the show, man. So,
okay. Well, let's focus on that.
Yeah.
Let's focus on that. But the one thing I want to ask you, so you said you're looking forward to getting out of prep, but if for some reason you don't win Tampa,
mm-hmm.
you're going to keep going, right? Or are you taking a break?
I think it depends on how we do in Tampa. If I get blown out, then what's the point of keeping going? Obviously, I need to fix something. I need to take the year off. Now, if I'm in the mix, then yeah, I mean, there's some shows that we've got our eyes on. Obviously New York was one of them. Chicago's right here. It's 45 minutes from me.
Yeah.
So those are a couple of options that we had, and I guess it just, we're looking to see how we do here. We're looking to see how the judges like our look and compared to a lot of other things, because my look is different from mm-hmm. a lot of other pro bodybuilders that you're going to see. Yeah. I'm not going to overpower you. I'm not going to, you know, make you just see this mass monster. What you're going to see is you're going to see pretty, you're going to see symmetrical, you're going to see proportional, and you're going to see some conditioning. And my presentation is going to be a huge thing for me. And I got to be able to show my physique off and to the point where you don't see that you're missing, you know, that mass monster.
I see. So what's considered blown out? What do you consider being blown out?
If I'm out of the first call out, then that's blown out to me. I actually had never been out of a first call out in my bodybuilding career until last year. Okay. I was in the second call out in New York, and then I was in the last call out in Chicago. My body was tired, and I was just out of it by then, man. So yeah. That was probably one of the hardest things for me to take. I had never been out of a first call, like I said, and it wasn't easy for me to, and I hated the feeling. I hate it.
There's nothing. I've been in the last call out. It was the last call out.
Oh boy.
Where the fuck was I in the last call out? I was in the only time was the Olympia. I was in the last.
You poor thing. You were in the last.
It's still, dude, it's still.
Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you if you're the last call out in the Olympia, you can say whatever you want about
me. It still sucks. It still sucks. I'm telling you. Because you still, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what show you're at. You're still like the last guy standing there.
Yeah.
And you're like, I fucking came here. You know, you're at the Olympia. Like, I don't think I'm going to win.
Yeah.
But you don't want to be the last guy standing there.
Okay, but.
So, okay, you know what I mean?
Even this show, though. Okay, so like, let's say I'm in the end of a first call out. Let's say I placed fourth or fifth place or something like that.
Yeah.
You know what people are going to say? They're going to say, "Oh, well, there wasn't anybody there."
Who cares about that? That doesn't.
No! I know that. I'm just telling you, like, that's where people are going to perceive.
But they can't say that there is people there. It's actually a pretty deep lineup because you got Hunter, you got Hunter, you got Ian, you got Samson. You and you have the other Mackie, what's his name? Joe Mackie. I mean, that's just five good bodybuilders right there.
What? Even the guys that are in the show are trying to say that there's nobody there. You had these guys on the
podcast. Ian said
there's nobody that can compete with, you know, with Ian. So
wait a minute. him saying he's only worried about Hunter,
mm-hmm.
that's a different thing than the audience saying there's nobody there.
I get what you're saying, but
right. So you know, obviously, you have some feelings about Ian saying
I've got a lot of feelings about that.
Do you want to talk about those?
We could talk about it. Yeah, we could talk about it. I think that Ian likes to hear himself talk. I think that's the biggest thing, because Ian, you know, and I get what he's saying. Like, he's been here before. He's been on the Olympia stage. He's been, you know, on these, you know, great things.
Big shows.
He's
done
a lot of good things in bodybuilding. I get it.
Yeah,
but he discounted a lot of people that are showing up to the show that are putting in the work. From what I seen when he was on your podcast,
yeah,
I think Hunter's a great person, and I really like him. I think he's a nice kid. I think that he should have discarded some of those things that were being said by Ian. I think that it was kind of disrespectful the way that they're making it. It's him and Ian. And I hope that it's woken up a lot of these bodybuilders that are showing up to the show next week or this week, I should say.
Well, I'm going to – I'll tell you a story in Ian's defense.
Yeah.
So in 2015, I was doing the Orlando Pro, and I think that was Ian – I don't remember if that was Ian's first show or his second year as a pro. I don't remember. And I remember his friend at the time, who I don't like to this day, is Tony Surley, said something like, "Foo, I better watch out. Ian's coming."
Mm-hmm.
And I'd been a pro for fucking 9 years at this point.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was looking the best I'd ever looked. I'm like, this was like my year, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, Ian's just starting. And it kind of fucking bugged me because I'm like, it's a lack of respect. I'm like, you know, I've been here. I put in my fucking time. And you're telling me this new kid coming along is going to beat me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, he's good. I could see he was really good. But I'm like, he still needs some time. So when Ian says the things he says, I see it like a lot of people are like, well, Hunter's going to be Ian. And Ian's probably got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder because he's like, look, man, I've already won a show. I already did the Olympia. I've already put in my fucking time. You guys should respect me more.
Yeah.
So I think by the time he got on my show and I was asking him, he'd probably already been stirred up.
You see what I'm saying? What you're saying? But then when you're basically saying, like, you're going to wipe the floor with the rest of us, that right there doesn't sit well. So I'll tell you what, if he doesn't, he's going to hear about it. So I hope for his sake that he's right, because I'll tell you what, like, he's not making me train any harder. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not training any harder, but it did wake me up a little bit, and it pushed me through those cardio sessions a lot more these last couple of weeks. So, hey, you know what? Maybe I'll write Ian a thank you card after this, and I'll see how it goes. But I think there are a lot of good bodybuilders showing up here. I think I saw something about Patrick Moore showing up.
No, maybe. He's not. He's not. I talked to him yesterday. He said he's just fucking around with people.
I was kind of hoping he was, but
You guys would actually stand. I'd like to see you guys stand next to each other.
Well, that's why I kind of wanted it. I wanted to see what, you know, my biggest thing is I want to see how I look next to these guys.
Yeah. Well,
because, you know, I'm going to make a career out of, and actually Hunter did say this, and I really liked what he said, you know, about his dad making a career out of beating people that were 30 and 40 pounds bigger than him.
Yeah.
Or bigger, you know, so that, I really like that, because I think that's the case here. And if I show up in shape, I think I can win. Yeah. I think I have the capability to win. When I went to go and pose for Steve in February, he told me that same thing.
Steve Weinberger.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I went out there to visit Phil. Phil lives maybe an hour away from, you know, from Bev's.
Yeah.
And you know, he told me that I have the capability of winning a pro show. And, you know, I believe that too. So yeah. I'm interested to see how this goes.
Well, I think everybody should go in. I think Ian's a good dude. I think, like I said, he might be stirred up a little bit because people aren't giving him necessarily the respect he wants, but it's also because Ian most of the time is very quiet.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't post a lot of shit on social media. He doesn't do a lot of talking.
Yeah.
So I think people were kind of discounting him. And so by the time he got on my show, he had, you know, maybe had some feelings he wanted to get rid of.
I get that, but why discount the rest of the field though?
Hey, I don't blame you at all. He's very confident, and like you said, he's got to be able to back up his confidence, or else it's not going to look great.
Yeah. If he shows up in shape, like I said, he's a great bodybuilder. I think Hunter's great. I think Joe Mackey can be really good if he shows up in shape. There's a lot of guys showing up.
Samson will be good too.
If he's in shape.
There's another guy.
Did you see that guy, the general or something? I saw something. They posted him. He looks great.
I thought I saw somebody. Is it Dorian Haywood?
Oh, he's showing up too. Yeah.
Is that who it is? I don't know.
If he's in shape. He could be good. Just depends.
Let's see this guy.
You know, the other thing too is, like, I saw that Ian was kind of ranking himself too.
I used to do that too, though. You can do
that. Yeah, I guess, man. But then it came up to all these ifs. Well, if this person didn't do this, I would have been in the Olympia. And if ifs and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas, man. I mean, this is just, I mean, there's a lot of ifs here. So, yeah. I mean, if I show up in shape, if I do this, if I do that, well,
I think what he meant, and I don't want to sit here. I'm not Ian's publicist.
Yeah.
Because the only reason I'm defending it at all is because I've seen some comments from other people going, oh, why did he rank himself? That's not how you do it. But it kind of is, because let's say you go on and you beat Ian in Tampa, right?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that gives you the right to say, I'm a top 10, top 15 guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you beat, like, let's say Ian is in the top 15. Mm-hmm. Like if Ian did the Olympia tomorrow, and there was 20 guys in the Olympia, he would be somewhere between 10 and 15, maybe 8 and 15, depending on whatever, right? I think if you beat Ian in Tampa, that puts you ahead of him. So when people rank themselves, it's kind of like a process of elimination. Well, I beat this guy and I beat that guy, and he was 8th and 9th at the Olympia, so that probably puts me ahead of them, blah, 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 right? You see what I'm saying?
I guess I get what you're saying. I wouldn't rank myself like that, just because, I mean, he's been to the Olympia before. So how many people are in the Olympia? what, 20?
Usually 12 to 15 nowadays.
12 to 15, okay. Well, yeah. He wasn't at the Olympia last year, so does that mean that he's out of that 12 to 15?
See, that's the way other people
I mean, do. I'm just saying, those are the best bodybuilders in the world.
No, I know, but that's the way other people do the rankings, yeah, too. They're like, unless you were on the stage and you competed,
yeah,
and then, and your placing at the Olympia is, yeah, your ranking. That's it.
Yeah.
But that's not really fair, because then you say, well, Phil Heath is zero because he hasn't competed, right?
And Kai and...
Okay. Right? So you have to be able to...
Rodin. That's why I was saying, when we were hearing that 10 to 12, I was like, wait here. I mean, there's
But what I'm saying is, there's people that... Like, if you had to rank Sean Rodin.
Yeah.
He hasn't competed, but you would say he's in the top 3 to 5 at the Olympia.
Oh, yeah.
Of overall bodybuilders.
For sure.
Yeah, so you can kind of give a ranking without...
He's a great bodybuilder, man. I'm really excited. And I don't mean any disrespect to Ian either. I think he's great. And I think you have to have that confidence. You have to. Yeah. I think him and Hunter should have kept that conversation at home instead of bringing it alive. But
no, this is better. It's better this way, because
I'm just saying it's better for me. I'm glad that they did. Because you know what? They're going to get the best me. Whether I beat them or not, that's great. But I'll tell you what, they're going to get my All-American try, man.
Yeah.
So
you put on last year, when you stepped on stage, you were 215.
Yep.
Yeah. This year you're coming on at 230. What was the difference, and how long was your off season?
My off season was right after Chicago. So that would have been July 4th weekend. So we went right into then until February. Our main focus for the last couple of years has been back.
No, but I mean, what did you do? Okay, so you had about 8 months of off season since Chicago.
Yeah.
What did you do in that 8 months that was like so different than what you've done previously, that you put on 15 pounds of muscle?
Yeah. Well, I think that Phil did switch up the way that I was training. He came out with this new visibility training. I don't know if you've seen it at all.
No.
You may even be able to look it up on his page. I'm not sure, but, basically, for me, everybody's different. You know, that's the great thing about Phil, is that there is no cookie cutter there. The plan is, you know, for you. Yeah. And what we did is we went and so, like, let's say, like, it's a back day. So back day, we hit, you know, 3 or 4 back movements, and then he throws in a shoulder and he throws in a chest movement at the end, just to put a little bit of blood in those areas and keep me full. Okay. So basically, I would hit my entire upper body every, you know, 2 to 3 days,
but it was very like minimal on the other body parts.
Yeah, okay. But I feel that it kept things full.
Yeah,
and he did it to the point where, like, you know, my weaker areas were what we were trying to bring up, obviously, the most. So he put those in the plan more often.
Yeah,
and that was something that, you know, usually when I was training, it was a traditional like chest day, back day, shoulder day. That wasn't the case this year. We switched that up, and we did that all the way up until maybe 4 weeks ago, he changed things up, where then he finally said, hey, go back to your traditional training.
I like that idea. You know what? I mean, it's something I'd like to take a look at, because
you should talk to him about it. I mean, it's going to be, I think he's done it with a lot of his clients, and then he's got an app coming out. So I think there's going to be a lot of good information coming out on his training and why he's doing it the way that he's doing it. Yeah. You should definitely at some point maybe even get him on here to talk about it, because I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, we do have a plan for him to come on. But it's, you know what's interesting about it is, people are usually one way or the other. They're like, well, I do push-pull legs.
Yeah.
Or I do the one body part a day split. There's never an in-between.
Yeah.
And this sounds kind of like it's an in-between. You're focusing on the major body part, but then you're still getting a little bit of the lighting stuff.
And I really like it, because then I feel like I feel like my upper body's full all the time instead of flat. And I know it's not, I can't really explain that in the off season, but, I feel like I'm hitting it every 2 or 3 days. So it's getting work all the time. And it's just more often. So for me, that works. And even when I'm getting ready for this show, like, my biggest thing is, obviously, my legs are really good. You know, my quads are really good. So I needed to keep my upper body as full as possible coming up into the show. And actually, even when I'm getting ready to go on stage, I need to make sure that I have a pump. I need to make sure that I'm full, because otherwise I don't have a chance to compete with a Hunter or an Ian. I have to be full.
Are you guys doing any diuretics or anything? Do you know if that's his plan?
If we do, it'll be like diazide, and I'm not sure. Like, it just all depends on what we need. He's definitely not into overkilling anything, which is great because I really hate diuretics, to be honest with you.
I don't know anybody who does like diuretics.
Yeah, you just don't know. They're just so sporadic, and you just don't know what you're going to get. Yeah. But usually whenever we've done anything, it's been diazide, and, you know, it's been like one or two, you know. Mm-hmm. But also, last year I wasn't in shape. So I don't know how it's going to be this year. I got up in New York, I think I placed ninth, and there was just a big film of water on me. I just wasn't in shape.
Yeah.
I didn't do the work to be in shape. I'll be the first one to tell you.
When you train, is his training style heavy and to failure, or is it more like moderate weight, high volume?
It's, and actually I heard Hunter and Ian talking about this. He does kind of the same thing that they were doing, where it's basically you get a couple of working sets, maybe like, or, you know, so like you're priming things for maybe 2, 3, 4 sets, and then you've got 1 to 2 working sets. So you've got one really heavy set, and then you have a back off set that's a working set, and then you go on to the next exercise.
Okay. You should post more training stuff. I don't know what your training is.
Yeah, I know.
Like.
I need to. Yeah.
Okay. So tell me about the gym. I want to go through your thing and look at the gym real quick. How's that going so far? How long have you been open?
So we've been open since June 26th. There's a bunch of pictures right there. We had Kyle Wurzel out there. He was taking pictures for us. Yeah. It's been going really, really, really well. Everybody's loving it. I think in our area, it's a lot of big box gyms. You've got Export Fitness. You've got LA Fitness. You've got, I'm trying to think, Lifetimes. But there is no actual gyms.
Like a hardcore, chalk on your hands.
And that's what this is. And I think people are really responding to it. A lot of the feedback I've been getting is that they're glad that it's there.
Yeah.
The other thing is we're 24 hours. A lot of those facilities aren't. I know Export is, but they're not even really open as of right now because of the quarantine. And they've actually shut down, I think, half of their locations. But people are really enjoying this because it's just a different environment. I got the music blasting. I mean, it's... Everybody's in there working. They're not on their phones. They're not talking. They're not doing that. So it's just a different feel, man. And I think people are really appreciating it.
I got to visit once the borders open up and I can cross the border again. I'd love to come visit. I like that you did the black, but you know, some gyms do all black. I like that you did a little bit of color.
Yeah, we threw a little bit of color in there. This place actually, before I took it over, was like one of those kids' bounce houses.
Oh yeah.
So there was colors everywhere, man. There was purples, yellows, reds, oranges all over the wall. So we did a lot of painting, man.
Are these all Mr. Olympias here?
Those are all the Mr. Olympias.
Fuck, that means I don't get to put my picture up there?
Well, I get your picture up there. We got another wall where I'd like to get everybody that like comes in and visits. I'd like to get them standing on the wall for sure.
That's cool. I like the atmosphere, man. You know, I always wanted my own gym, and I want to do like maybe, you know, I was thinking like 10,000 square feet, something like that.
Yeah.
Cause I can't compete with like the big box gyms here.
Yeah.
But I wanted to feel like this, feels like it would be a good training gym. Go in and grunt and lift and fucking do your shit, you know?
Yeah. And this is about 13,000 square feet. So this is about what you're talking about.
It looks a lot bigger. It looks bigger than that. I like, you know what else I really like? I always like gyms with really high ceilings like that.
The ceilings are probably like 20-25 feet.
Yeah, that's a big big bonus for me.
Yeah.
I have one question.
Yeah.
What's with the turf in this room?
Man, you know what? Like we put the turf down and we just felt like it was kind of cool to feel like you're on. If you look at it from the other side, there's actually projector screens on the walls. So it's kind of like you're doing cardio on a football field. It's just a different feel.
I get it.
We just thought it was different.
Okay, but if somebody's training here,
yeah,
and they're using this incline bench here and they're sweating, how hard is it to keep this turf clean?
Oh, it's really not hard. You can blow it around, and we've got a vacuum that like basically it goes right over it. And we've got like one of those those like jetpack like Ghostbuster. You know, I don't know how to explain this. But then we also have a cleaning company that comes in and does like really deep cleaning on it, and they've got some products that they've been using. This quarantine has really opened up a lot of. We've had so many companies coming out with you know, to the facility and showing us all of these new products that they're using for, you know, for cleaning. It's crazy. Yeah. So
I think I like this room the most.
Oh yeah, that's the upstairs. That's our stretching area. And a lot of people, we've got the agility ladders and the ropes and the heavy bags and stuff up there. So you know, what's nice about it is the floor plan is broken up too. So if you want to get away from people, you can do that.
Yeah, I like that.
Everybody's not bunched up. So
where'd the name come from? Rise Gym. Where does that come from?
You know, my brother and I were just going through it, and the way that we got there, it was, you know, I've kind of explained our background and where we've come from. And this is all a part of us rising, you know, out of the gutter, man. I mean, we literally had nothing growing up. Everything is, yeah, I see that chessboard you got.
Is this in your gym?
Yeah, man, that's right there at the front desk. So if you ever want this action, you let me know. yeah, but yeah.
I don't play chess, man. I play checkers. Fuck that shit.
Oh, man, checkers is nothing, man. You got to have chess. But yeah, so I mean, the Rise thing is just, you know, it's more of a feel, you know, the fact that we're starting from the bottom and we're working our way up. And I think that everybody at the gym is doing that. They're starting somewhere and they're trying to be better and they're trying to rise, you know, to the next level. And that's where we came up with that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool, man. I like your story. It's like, it's a bit inspiring to a lot of people, man. Cause the question that gets most people and probably some, like, I bet you a lot of people are asking this while we're talking is, where does the money come from to start? I mean, the money for the gym probably came from the restaurant.
So my brother and I, we do pickup orders at the restaurant, right? We do pickups Thursdays and Sundays. So people could come in, they can get a discount if they pay cash and we don't have to deliver it and ship it. So they can come right to the restaurant and pick it up. Yeah. The other people that are getting delivery, obviously we've got to ship that all over the country. So my brother and I set up an account for just the deliveries. And we didn't touch that for almost 2 years.
Oh, wow. So
we lived off of the money that was coming in from the pickups and obviously whatever we were doing from the restaurant. And we let the other thing just sit and grow. And we don't spend a ton of money. My brother lives at my house. We live very, like, you know, easy. We're not flashy. We don't have anything like
that. You're not like the expensive sports car or fucking like kind of guy. No. You're more into the just blue collar shit.
Right now, I mean, don't get me wrong. If I had it, maybe, but I put my entire life savings into this gym. It was a huge risk. And I don't think people understand the risk that someone is taking as an entrepreneur to put everything that they have. Like, basically, like I said, we had that savings account, but then the rest of the money I took out of I took a home equity loan to get a lot of the equipment. You know, there was just, I took personal loans to, you know, to get this. And I think it's going to pay off. Like I said, we're almost at 600 members. I told my brother, if we get to 1,000, when we get to 1,000, that I am going to go buy myself a new car because I feel like I deserve it. So,
dude, it's inspiring to hear because a lot of people, including myself, are very like, okay, I got a buck. What can I buy with it? Right.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will say, you know, how did that guy get that gym? Where did the money come from? You know, how come I can't get the money to get a gym started? And I've said that to myself.
Yeah.
But I've never actually sat on a bunch of money and just saved it. I'm not great at that. So basically what you're saying is you just haven't done anything. You haven't spent any money. You've just been earning from your business and putting it all in the bank.
I've been saving. Like I said, I don't do a whole lot. You know, a lot of people, they go out, they drink. A lot of people go out, they spend money on their cars. They build cars. They do this, they do that. I spent all my money in my gym, in my restaurant. And I'm hoping that if we grind it out now, and I've told my brother this, that we can relax later.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that, and I told my brother too, I'm like, listen, you're 24 years old, man. If you grind this out the next couple of years, your 30s are going to be real easy. You know, you can take care of that girl that you have. You can, you know, go take her on nice vacations. And I think she sees that too. She sees the, you know, the end game here, what we're going for. And when you get people to buy in and, you know, you trust them and they're good people, I think that my brother is one of the best people I've ever met. I think when people see that, they feel better about spending their money with you too.
Yeah.
You know, because anybody that comes into my restaurant, anybody that buys for my meal prep, they're not just buying the food because they like the food. They're not just coming to the gym because they like the gym. They're buying you. So I think that's a great thing. And not only that, but him and I, we just kind of, we mesh well. Like, I'm more big picture. He's handy and he's technologically savvy. I'm on his computer right now because I don't even know how to do this stuff. So, but we balance each other out. And it's been working really well so far. So
it's interesting what you said, that it makes 100% sense that people are buying you. I think people can see, obviously people can see that you guys have your heart and soul into what you're doing. I think it's kind of like the Hostile brand is the same way. It's like me and my wife, and we have like our heart and soul is in the product.
Yeah.
And I think people recognize that's probably in your gym, and it's in your, you know, it's coming from a place of like,
yeah,
it's like, it's different when it's coming from a place of passion rather than dollars and cents.
I got to tell you, Fuad, like one of the main reasons that I wanted to be with you guys is you guys. I mean, I knew, like, I had talked to multiple people about you guys. Yeah. Everybody had nothing but good things to say about you guys. Yeah. I knew that the products were going to be top shelf. I knew that, you know, it was a brand that, you know, people were going to want to be a part of because they know you and they know that, you know, how hard you work and everything like that. And when you can be a part of something like that, it's just different. Like you're saying, when you can see people are passionate about it, when you can see people are motivated and they're getting kicked out of bed by what they love to do every day, it's just different.
I mean, it's like your gym and the restaurant, obviously. You know, I don't want to say, like, when I say it's not about dollars and cents, obviously it's a business and you still want to make money, but the passion almost overrides it.
Oh yeah.
And I think people, you know what I mean? I can see that in the gym. You can see like the equipment you chose and the, you know, the way it's finished and stuff. So it's cool, man. I'm excited to come out.
Yeah.
So what are you training today?
Today I've got chest, delts, and triceps. So volume. After I get, let's see, what time did I eat? About 10:30. So I'm going to eat maybe like 12:30, 1 o'clock. And then I'm going to go train maybe an hour after that. And then, I've got a couple more meals for today. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to do it all again on Tuesday. And then Wednesday I leave. And then we see how the cards fall, man.
Fuck, I want it to come, but you know, it's fucked up for us because number one, the plane ticket was like $600. I'm like, I don't want to.
Really?
But that, I was still going to go because
I
had spoken to a couple people that were going to be there and I was still going to go. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
But then I have to quarantine for 14 days when I get home. I'm not allowed to leave my house for fucking 2 weeks. I'm like, I can't.
How are they going to?
I don't know how they monitor it.
Yeah.
I don't know how they monitor it, but apparently like, there's a fine and all this other shit and you can't, like, you're supposed to quarantine yourself.
Yeah, that's no good.
So I'm like, I can't not leave my house, right? So I can't be there, unfortunately. But I'm looking forward to seeing you guys on stage and seeing what you can do, man. I want to see you kind of in the mix up there. But I'm going to let you go because I know you're dieting and it's already been a while. But is there any message or anything you want to promote, anything you want to say, any kind of message you want to put out before I let you go?
I just hope that you guys, all that are watching this, take this as motivation to do something that you guys want to do, that you're not letting life control, you know, what you want to do, that you're not letting money control what you want to do, that you actually do something worthwhile for yourself, because, there's only so much time here. Within a year, I had my dad pass away, my uncle pass away, who was one of my best friends in the world, and my grandmother that was a huge part of my life. After that stuff happened, I realized that there's just, you have no promise for tomorrow. So you got to do what you want to do today. You got to take the risks and make sure that they're calculated risks. I'm not just telling you to go out and just do whatever, but if it's something that you really want to do, don't let anything outside, whatever, hold you back from it. And you can do it. You can make time for it if you want it. So, and I'm living proof of that. So
I think that's very well put and spoken from somebody who's done it, which is always important, right? It's funny because I see people say all these things, but they've done fuck all. like they've done nothing. Like they still live in their parents' fucking basement shit, and they're like putting out motivational speeches. So it's refreshing to hear somebody say it who's actually like, you know, been there, done that. So look, I appreciate the time, man, and I'll be watching all week, and I look forward to seeing you crush shit on Saturday, man.
Yes, sir. I hope I make you guys proud, man. I'm ready.
All right, dude. Thank you for the time, man. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good.
All right, brother.
Bye.